There is a passage of scripture that I want to read, and I know that your theme this week today is one God, one people. And I want to talk about how to transform your church. As I sat here this morning, my heart went out to the other 450 other congregations in Southern California who call themselves Assemblies of God churches. This is one. There are 450 others around Southern California, Fresno to the Mexican border. And how to transform your church. And as I have felt the spirit and the atmosphere in this church today, I would like to take this and replant it in so many other Assemblies of God congregations. But I want to read this passage of scripture, and it's going to be on the screen, I'm sure, and you can follow it along with me. I'll very quickly read this because I think it's important. It has a foundation to what I want to say to you this morning. And you read it on the screen as I do. My response is to get, this is the Apostle Paul from one of his prayers in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, the third chapter. There are two great prayers in Ephesians. One is in chapter 1. The second prayer is chapter 3. I'm reading from the one from chapter 3 of his prayer. My response, how to transform your church. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives. Live full in the fullness of God. God can do anything, you know. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. And this is the conclusion of this prayer. I know it's already up on the screen, but this is the from the message. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah, in Jesus. Glory down through all generations. Glory through all millennia. And the translation of the message is, oh, yes. Can you give the Lord a good yes? Give God a good yes, and you become part of the interpretation of Scripture when you do that. My wife and I were in China in the spring of this year, and we were understanding something from someone there about the Chinese bamboo. The Chinese bamboo. You know about that, but you may not know that when the bamboo seed is, we're told the bamboo seed is a nut with a very tough skin. So after it's planted, it must be watered and fertilized and cared for. The first year, nothing happens. The second year, watered and fertilized again, nothing happens. The third year, same. Fourth year, same. Fifth year, the seed that has been planted 5 years ago, the Chinese bamboo seed planted 5 years ago, the stalk bursts through the ground, and within a period lasting no more than 6 weeks, that bamboo grows 90 feet. Now, when I was told this with great pride by the Chinese, the question is, the question is simple. Did the bamboo grow 90 feet in 6 weeks? Or did it grow 90 feet in 5 years? It's a very important question. I believe this. I believe that 5 years is more accurate, because at any time during that interval, had it not been watered and fertilized and cared for and looked after and prayed for, would not have been maintained, the plant would have died. Now, I thought about that, and I think about that with your church. I think about that with you as a congregation in the life cycle of this church, the depth in which you plant the seed and wait for the plant, the church, the life, the spirit here to grow. If you want this church to operate more productively, to change long-standing attitudes, behaviors, required cultural changes you've been talking about. Abe, you mentioned that in what you talked about this morning, and I appreciate that very, very much. It may require nurturing for a long time, maybe for years. But once the effect takes place, listen, once the effect takes place, results often measure double-digit percentages. I think it's important. I think it's very valuable, as a matter of fact. I was reading from Galatians last night, as a matter of fact, and I printed off this. I don't think it's going to be on the screen. But in Galatians 6th chapter 7th verse, listen. What a person plants, that's what he harvests. The person who plants selfishness. This is from the Message. Ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, of eternal life. So, Paul says, let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop. If we don't give up or quit, I like that because it makes sense to me because it's true. Things I'd like to see in the church. You see it on the screen. And it's in your bulletin, I will. If you got a pencil, you might want to jot this down. And when you go home this week, make a good message out of it, will you? And fill in the blanks. Number one, what I'd like to see in the church. I'd like to see, very simple, more joy. More celebration, and more remembrance of God's faithfulness. Very important aspects. Let me give you an aside of a story. My wife and I were, I don't think Judy was with me on this one, but coming from Dallas, Texas to Orange County Airport, plane was full. I had on a suit, as a matter. I don't usually wear a suit, but I was told I had to be formal today, so here I am with a suit and tie. I was on the plane. I was sitting about halfway back, maybe three quarters of the way back. All the seats were full. There were three seats to my right here. I was three seats wide open. They were about to close the door, and in my mind I was thinking, boy, as soon as I'm wedged up here, as soon as that door closes and they shut everything, I'm going to move over there so I have one person and two empty seats. You love that on an airplane. You want some wiggle room. Well, just before the door closes, here comes a man with a big backpack pulling a suitcase. A little boy about 4 years old, backpack pulling a suitcase. The wife, backpack, pulling a suitcase. They looked like they'd just gotten back from the Himalayas. And here they come down the aisle, and there's no seat on the airplane, so I knew where they were going. Here they come. They're taking my seat over there. So they get in. The mother gets over to the window. The boy gets in the middle seat, and the father gets there, puts the stuff up, puts underneath, and they're holding stuff, and doors are closed, the plane takes off, we get up in the air, and boom, 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 here we go. Well, I'm sitting here on D, the D seat, A, B, C, and D, E, F. I'm sitting on C and then D, E, F right here on the same row. And we get up and the mother and the father start telling stories. the little boy in the middle, his head's in the mother's lap, and his head's in his dad's lap, and he turns here, and they tell stories, and they're sort of speaking out loud, telling stories. And finally, the boy says, to his parents, let's do that thing we did last night. And they smiled, and okay, so the father starts it. How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? That's it. I need you. And the little boy says, "Good," said, "let's do it a little faster." And they said, how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? And the boy, he just convulsing. He said, "Let's faster." And he go, "How much? Give it to me now. Give it to me. Come on." See, that's the problem right there. And I'm looking to the seatmates around me, and they're convulsing in laughter over there. They just get faster, they're faster. And pretty soon, I'm feeling the spirit over there, and I'm saying to myself, I'm right with them. But I look around, and some of my seatmates, and they're doing the same thing. And then they bounce off into seashell. She sells. Come on now. I got my man right down here. He's gonna bail out on me. She sells down by the seashore. And then there's a faster. And then she sells down by the sea. Come on. She sells seashells. Down by the seashore, and you're faster. And we're over there. All of us got a bunch of suits over here. All around, we're doing this. You know, we're into that. We are into that. Plane lands. I'm just about the whole flight, 2-hour flight. Just about the whole flight was represented in what I have just been telling you. So we get up, they're sitting there, because it take them a half hour to just pick their stuff up and get out of the plane. So we're walking, and I touched the father on the shoulder, and I said, "Thanks for a good ride home. You have made this part of the aircraft a place of joy and celebration. Love what you've done." And I look back, and different guys were coming along, hitting the guy. One guy reaching over and touching the boy. And I get off into the Orange County Airport, and I'm walking down the corridor, getting to the baggage claim, and I am doing this. She sells going by the seashore. She sells. And woodchuck, how much wood would you? And three flight attendants are in front of me. And they stopped suddenly and one of them said, "Who is that behind us putting a lift in our step?" And I'm looking to who? I'm just doing the seashells thing. I'm just telling you, atmosphere, joy, celebration is amazing. Let me tell you, Psalm 16:9. I got home and I put a little note to myself. Psalm 16:9. "I'm happy from the inside out and from the outside in. I am fully formed. Lord, you canceled my ticket to hell. That's not my destination. Heart, body, and soul are filled with joy." Zephaniah, you know the Zephaniah 3:17, 3:16, 17 text? If not, you put jot a note down underneath this. "For the Lord your God has arrived to live among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will give you victory. He will rejoice over you with great gladness. He will love you and not accuse you. Your God is present among you, happy to have you back. He will calm you with his love and delight you with his songs." I tell you, you want more joy, more celebration, more remembrance of God's faithfulness. It is what happens when you get together. Did you notice this choir this morning when they were singing? I mean, every single one of them, all of the people that were here. I mean, you cannot teach that. Joy, celebration. I mean, something about what was going on this platform, and some of you were doing the same. I saw some feet moving. Mine was moving a little bit, not as much as yours, but there's a great passage of scripture, let me tell you. Look over to Luke 15. Luke 15, the lost, what? The lost coin? The lost sheep? Man had 100 sheep and 99 were safe and one was lost. What did he do? He went out and found the lost sheep. And this is the text that culminates his finding the lost sheep. Celebrate with me. I have found my lost sheep. That's the first story of the lost. The lady with the lost coin, she said, after she had 10, she lost one. She searched all night. Then she finished and she went to her neighbors and said, celebrate with me because I found my lost coin. Celebrate with me. I found my coin. And then there is maybe the greatest single story of all time in all the literature. And it happens to be in Luke 15. It's the story of the lost son, the lost boy. And here's what he says. I think it's going to be on the screen. Then he said, there was once a man who had two sons. The younger said to his father, Father, I want right now what's coming to me. So the father divided the property between them. I'm reading this from the message. It's going to flower. It's going to flower. Open the flower for you this morning. I think it did for me. So the father divided the property between them. It wasn't long before the younger son packed his bags, left for a distant country. There, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had after he had gone through all of his money. It wasn't his money. All of his money. There was a bad famine all through that country, and he began to hurt. He signed on with a citizen there who assigned him to his fields to slop the pigs. He was so hungry he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but nobody would give him even that. That brought him to his senses. He said, all those farmhands working back for my father sit down to 3 meals a day, and here I am starving to death. Oh my. I'm going back to my father. I'm going to say to him this. I'm going to say to him, Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me as a hired hand. He got right up and went home to his father. Listen, verse 20. When he was still a long way off, his father saw him, his heart pounding. He ran out. It's the only place in Scripture that shows God, our Heavenly Father, running. He ran out to meet his son, embraced him, he kissed him. The son started his speech. Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again. But the father was not listening to that. He was calling to his servants, quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Then go out and get a grain-fed heifer. Go out and get Betsy and roast her. We're going to feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is here, given up for dead and now alive, given up for lost, now found. And they began to have a wonderful time. Twice it says that in the rest of that scripture. Most wonderful place, most wonderful thought that you can possibly find. This is what happens. Joy, celebration, remembrance of God's faithfulness. God has embraced you. He has embraced me. He has pulled you to himself and says again and again and again, no matter who you are, no what you've done, again and again, I love you, welcome home. Let's celebrate. The angels in heaven says in these lost things, they rejoice over just one that has been found, over all that have been saved. Great, great passage of scripture. And I love to see that, and I love to see that. Here is the second thing I'd like to share is more emphasis on the fruit of the Spirit. More emphasis on the fruit of the Spirit. On the fruit. I didn't say more emphasis on the gifts of the Spirit. More emphasis on the fruit of the Spirit. Of course we love the gifts. Of course we believe in the gifts. Of course we want the gifts to be manifest, exercised in all the right ways in the church of Jesus Christ. But the fruit of the Spirit. What's the fruit of the Spirit? What is the fruit of the Spirit? What is the fruit of the Spirit? What does it look like? What does it feel like? What does it taste like? Let me tell you, it is a wonderful thing. Galatians, the 5th chapter, 22nd verse. Let me just tell you this. So, as an aside, they passed away now. She was in her 90s. She and her husband were senior adult coordinators of the Central Coast area for our Assemblies of God Fellowship, Ventura, Central Coast. Her name is Dorothy Boyd. Her husband was Dudley Boyd, a retired chaplain in the U.S. Army. They were at the district office. I came out. They were getting ready to go, and they came out. I stopped, and she rolled down her window, opened the door a little bit. I said, she was 90. I think she was 92. I said, How are you doing today? How are you doing today? Because she always came with her husband. She said, let me tell you. She says, I've got the two W's today. I said, you got the two W's? Yeah, she said, I am wondrously weary. I said, wondrously weary? Yeah, well, that's great. She talked to me a little bit about that. A year later, they came back for a second conference for our senior adult ministries, and she was there, and she was getting ready to leave. I said, Dorothy, you still have those two W's? Oh, she said, Pastor, she said, I've got the four W's now. She said, I am wondrously weary in spite of my worries and wrinkles. She said, I've just about lost my hearing. I've just about lost my taste buds. Can't taste very much. I've about lost my sight. But she said, you know what? She said, I've still got my smeller. And I want to be positive, and I want to always have something about my person to say that is positive to somebody else. And don't always be saying something negative. I got all these other things, but she says, I still got my smeller. So I'm hanging in there, Pastor. I'm hanging in there. Now, what do you think about that? I said, I think that's wonderful, Dorothy. Wonderful. It was her husband. Her husband, Dudley, they had gotten a call from somebody that wanted to visit a person in the church that was in the home and hospice home, and he went to visit, and he did not know her very well, but he thought she would know him. It was a memory care place, and he finally found out where she was, the bed she was in. He went in there, knocked on her. She was asleep. She woke up. He leaned over and said, do you know who I am? She said, pardon me? He said, do you know who I am? Very sweet. She said, no, I don't. He said, but if you go back out to the front desk, they can tell you who you are. That's Dorothy. Galatians. Fruit of the Spirit. Listen, and if you want to mark something down, if you want a gift to come into your life, this is the gift that you want. Here, But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like, and listen, this is from the Message translation. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion of the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life. We're able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. That's Galatians 5. That's the fruit of the Spirit text. You read this. I'm reading this from the Message translation. And then Philippians 4:8. This is my wife Judy. This is her favorite passage of Scripture. When she teaches, she's been a teacher, but she's a wonderful speaker as well. She often uses this as the foundational text for what she has to say. Summing it all up, and I totally agree. Listen to this. Listen and read it on the screen. I'd say you'll do your best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. Now, if you don't believe that, this is probably not the place for you, because that is the most healthy place. You can put your feet under that table and you can live a life that is worthy to God. The third change, if you want to call it change, third thing I'd like to see is more emphasis on congregational unity and less attempts to be different. Let's come together. Judy and I were, a few years ago, we were in Japan. And when we were in Japan, and if you ever have this opportunity, this is something you should do as well. Given the opportunity to have a tour by some of the naval personnel, a couple of captains, a tour of the giant aircraft carrier, USS Independence. Aircraft carrier, Independence. It's huge. I mean, it's almost unbelievable. It is so big. A floating city of 5,200 people. Six stories, more than 3 football fields long, 3 mess halls, they call them mess halls, but they're better than that, mess halls, a Rose Bowl size storage hangar for the airplanes that are on board that aircraft carrier, ammunition stores, library, hospital facilities, meeting rooms, various other storage places, places to sleep, recreation centers, pilots, headquarters, a bookstore. They thought of just about everything. It's a floating city. One of the ship's officers, he was touring us, we were asking some questions, and he said this. This is an exact quote of what the officer said to us. Everything about this ship is designed, the people on board, the equipment, the reason it was planned and built has only one thing in mind. Launch the aircraft. The reason it was built, no other function. The mission of this ship is to get those airplanes up. That's the reason for being. And I'm very interested in that, because I transferred that over to the Church of Jesus Christ. Everything about the church, everything about its design, the people on board, the equipment, the reason it was formed, is meant to fashion people into the image of Christ and launch, Launch the people, launch the church, launch the membership into spiritual battle. It has no other function. The church has no other function than to launch the mission of the church. Pool of resources, money, manpower. Money is raised. It's wonderful. You're responding to the responding to Florence, Hurricane Florence. There's nothing on the news but the Florence. The response, the money is raised to launch the church. No other, people are challenged to faith and faithfulness to launch the church. No other reason. Your work, your time, no matter how simple or how complex, has only one reason for existence. That's to fire the engines of the church and move the Church of Jesus Christ forward. The reason for being of this in this church and for this church and for our church worldwide is to launch God's mission to this world. No other reason. It's a wonderful thing. Well, fourth thing is, I'd like to see more armory, and less hospital. More armory. And less hospital. Hospitals, it doesn't mean the hospital is not important. You don't misunderstand me at all there. But more armory and less hospital. I was reading a wonderful article by a French writer, and he had this phrase: If you want to build a ship, don't drum up the men to go to the forest to gather wood, saw the wood, nail the planks together. Instead, if you want to build a ship, teach people a desire for the sea and all of the elements will find its place in the motivation of our heart. This passage of scripture, I'm going to read it because then I'll be finished when I read this passage. Let me tell you why you're here. This is from the message from Matthew 5. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and you'll end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. Opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. One of the things that we say, well, how can God use me? I'm just me. How can God use me? And the great phrases. Listen to this. I think you'll be up on it's on the screen. The Atlantic Gulf Stream will flow through a straw if the straw is aligned to the Gulf Stream and not at cross purposes with it. Who am I? I'm just a straw, not a plastic straw. I didn't want you in a plastic straw. I'm just a straw. And by the grace of God, I want to line up with His will, His purposes, line up in unity and in favor. And the Gulf Stream, God's love, God's grace, God's power, God's goodness, the fruit of the Spirit will flow through me. And He will flow through you. So join me in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for these wonderful people who love you, who serve you, who care for you,
who are part of a great family of faith here. I pray your Spirit will flow through each of us. Let the glory of God be seen in us, what we are, who we are, what we do, what we say, and how we behave. Let the blessing of your Spirit rest upon those things as we trust you, as we trust you, as we leave you, as we commit ourselves, commit our minds, our hearts, our bodies, our lives to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all God's people said amen. All God's people said amen. Amen. God bless you.